Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from Mark chapter 1. We will hear verses 14 to 20. Hear the word of God. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. Now, listening to the gospel stories about the Galilean shoreline leave us with meager descriptive details. And I remember years ago standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and having to toss my imagined and long-developed photo album out and replace it with the sights and sounds and the smells of the actual place, a deeper, richer, and more colorful picture than the skimpy record that we find in our gospel lesson today. Now, Mark, although an inspired and creative conveyor of the greatest story ever told, is by no means long-winded or extravagant in his descriptive phrasing. He seems to live by the axiom that brevity is the soul of wit. We're not given the shoreline sounds of waves, bumping boats, squawking gulls, the shouts of the foreman's directives, nor the fragrant smells of the day's catch and the sweaty catchers, nor a vision of the bustling inventory of co-workers and local observers moving about the breadth of the industry tools. Mark does not provide us with the details, but simply the bare bones. And this should not come as a surprise, given Mark's propensity for unfolding the life and mission and ministry of Jesus with a sense of urgency. Just take a moment sometime to look through Mark's gospel and note the frequency with which he employs the term immediately. Right? Mark had urgent news to tell, and time was of the essence. And unlike Luke and John's accounts, we have no indication here in Mark's gospel that these men had any prior acquaintance with Jesus before hearing his call. And this did not seem to Mark to be a necessary precondition for the possibility for following Jesus. The possibility remains, however, that they may have heard about Jesus because he'd already been preaching in their region. And as I ruminated over the passage, I think what stood out to me was how compelling the claim of Jesus was upon these laborers by the sea, that all other claims upon them suddenly lost their import. I wondered what must have been going on in their minds. Then it struck me. It wasn't so much about what was going on in their minds, as it was about their trust in the mindset of the person with whom they were intent to step up and to step out, with whom they were intended to follow. Now, after hearing the call and the invitation to move from the apparently secure and familiar and into a whole new opportunity and daunting challenge, how do you know that you're ready? How do you know you're ready to step up and step out? Well, in recent weeks, we have considered those things that define our present culture or the place that we find ourselves. And we've noted the fear, the narcissistic self-preservation, the busyness and restlessness, and observed the life-robbing and violent and destructive fallout of these defining traits. And what we are seeking to understand is how can God's living word speak to and challenge and heal and be persuasive in furthering God's realm and reign? Friends, this was precisely the mission and ministry to which Jesus was committed, and the one to which he urged his followers, his disciples, to move in. So, I'm wondering, what might convince a potential disciple from flinching at the call and missing an opportunity of a lifetime? Being a part of a movement that will have cosmic sway and eternal rewards. Jesus says, follow me. And I'm thinking, just a minute, or better still, give me a few days or years to consider where we're going. I'm not very comfortable with the thought of going where I've never been. Jesus, Lord, don't you have some sort of itinerary or schedule of events that you could, provide me? I'm intimidated by the unknown. I need to know where I'm going before I get there. I need to Google map it. I'll need to know when I have to steer. Jesus says, follow me. And I'm thinking, well, life around the sea here is pretty good. It's pretty nice, Waterfront property. Hey, location, 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 right? It's comfortable. The climate is tropical, the water is fresh, and the fishing's good. The soil is fertile, food is plentiful. And the hot springs are a real bonus. I'd go, but life around here is pretty carefree. Can't I just stay and take some kind of correspondence course? Or better still, just give me a good book to read. The required reading. I don't want to have to move or pick up and go anywhere to learn anything new. Jesus says, follow me. And I'm thinking, who's going to keep the family business going? I've invested a lot of time and effort in learning how to fish for fish. I've worked hard to maintain my nets and my boats. You see, we made these nets and these boats with our own hands. We've cared for them, we've repaired them, and we've used them. They've given us a living. And my parents have always fished. My dad has a lot invested in these boats. How can I just drop everything to follow you? Jesus says, follow me. And I'm thinking, but I smell kind of fishy, you know. My clothes, you know, they're soiled. Give me some time to get cleaned up a bit. You know, give me a chance to make myself, you know, just a little more presentable. Give me time to change. Give me time to change. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of people. And I'm thinking, all I know is fishing for fish. I don't know how to do what you're asking of me. Fishing for people is such a huge task. It's beyond my capabilities. And I'd probably just get in the way anyway and bungle it up. I'd ruin your plans. Jesus says, I will make you to become. I know what you're thinking, and you don't think you're ready. Listen, your readiness has more to do with what I think than what you think. I see the potential in you that you're unable to see in yourself. I'm the one who will be doing the making, the fashioning, the equipping, and the creating. I will do the changing. All I'm asking from you is your willingness to follow. I'll take care of the rest. Just be ready to follow. Friends, what I hoped to hear from Mark was a little more of what was on the minds of these fishermen. And what did Mark describe as a response to the call? A simple response. They followed. The crux of their response was that they believed in Jesus, and their vision moved beyond themselves to the person of Jesus. And the result was that they moved from their present circumstance, their place and existence, into a world of marvelous possibilities. They moved with the person who saw greater potential in them than they saw in themselves. They moved with the person who persuaded them that the world need not remain as it is, hurting, fear-filled, captive, and violent. He invited them to become participants in something bigger than themselves, the furtherance and building of the kingdom of God. These Galilean fishermen trusted the good news, and they were willing to let go of yesterday's ultimate concerns to discover a new ultimate concern, the realm and reign of God. And friends, the same Jesus who called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, now resurrected and alive, approaches us with the call to follow and with the call to become. He sees us not as we are, but as we might be made to be. When we entrust ourselves to his creative care, his desire for us is to continue to participate in something bigger than ourselves. the furtherance of God's realm and reign. Making the radical decision to follow Christ brings about radical change, not only in our individual lives, but also in the life of the community of faith. We are never the same. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." It makes me wonder again, what do we attribute to the life of faith? That is life robbing or life giving? A decision to follow Jesus is terribly exciting and terribly frightening, all at the same time. It's exciting because of the possibilities and potential of becoming more than we ever dreamed, yet frightening because the risk of letting go of yesterday's ways of living and thinking to which we've grown accustomed. Friends, please remember too, the call of Christ is a corporate call. The call comes as a challenge to our inner circle, to move beyond our inner circle and out into the world. And Christ is saying to First Baptist, come with me, move with me, go with me. The church building can become a comfortable retreat from the world, where we can, keep ourselves busy looking after the basics, a place where we can struggle on our own to exist. These things like, fishing for fish are not bad in themselves. But when they become ultimate concerns, they can hinder the community from being responsive to the call to become. Christ is calling us to become a community in which people find wholeness and healing, a community in which they find reconciliation with themselves, with others, and with God. We are called to be a people who want more than anything else to move with the living Christ, trusting and believing that he will make us to become his good work in the world. So, are we ready to step up and step out? God thinks so. Let us pray. Oh God of people who fish and people who stare at the night sky in impatient wonder, people who daydream in solitude and silence, hear our prayers. And God of artists and dancers, singers and painters and composers, of all who create, fueled by your creative spirit in us, hear our prayers. And God of justice seekers and kingdom builders, of all who strive for righteousness and work to welcome in people from the margins, who care for those who are poor and live on the streets, for those who welcome refugees, hear our prayers. O God of us all, children and seniors, help us to work hard, to play hard, and to dream bold dreams in all we do from day to day, from birth until death. May we be inspired to follow you and to create and love and restore as Jesus did. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.